pleasure. To the people of God all over the world, to those who are on the line, all of us who are under the sound of God's word, and also surrounded by the acts of his marvelous creation, today is our Independence Day. That's what we're celebrating and recognizing on this Resurrection Sunday. We are celebrating our Independence Day. So glad for Minister Lewis sharing with us on last night at the Address Communion what this really means to those who are believers, those who are the saints of God. Today is a day that we recognize that the Lord Jesus, he is the game changer. And because of his resurrection, the enemy of sin and death is totally defeated, and we have right now the victory. I'm so glad that Dr. Reverend Glenda, that God used you in a limited fashion, because I really thought that you was getting ready to preach all of my sermons. It's just amazing how the Spirit of God can corroborate in real time what he has given to you before time. I appreciate this morning that not everyone believes. But for those of us who do, there is something peculiar about us. You see, those who are the sons and the daughters of the Most High God, we are not walking in defeat because we got past right. So we're not walking in defeat because we know, hallelujah, Reverend Dr. Glenda, you said it, in him we move, we live, and we have our being. We have a different walk today. We have a walk that is confident. We have a walk that reflects the audacity of hope. When the promises of God have been heard, it's been heard, the promises have been heard, but they have not been readily seen and revealed in tangible form. But between now and faith and the substance of the things hoped for, we just walk with a swag, hallelujah, a swag that shows the audacity of hope that we have in Christ Jesus. We have right now the life, and the life more abundantly because we dare to walk by faith. Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus. We dare to walk by faith and not by sight. If you will, go with me. Walk with me just a little while longer. I promise not to hold you long. Please consider the good news taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 through 11. And I'll read it for those that have an ear to hear. Let them hear. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. Entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goes before you into Galilee. Therefore shall you see him as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed, Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. She went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. Today, I want to share with you from the thought, who can find a virtuous woman? If y'all will give me a little time to lay down the predicate, I'm sure that it will connect and you appreciate what I'm saying as he has spoken to my heart about what I should bring before the body of Christ now. But the thought for today is, who can find a virtuous woman? As I am getting myself prepared this week to share with you and thinking how strange that thought was, I'm so glad for the Reverend Dr. Glenda, who already laid it in appropriate context that she shared with us in her devotion with us this morning. In order to put the thought and the text into appropriate context, I need to share just a glimpse of the man who is the author of this gospel. We refer to him as Mark, and if you study him, his name was John Mark, and he is the author of what is believed to be the second book of the New Testament, the first book being the Acts of the Apostle that was written, hallelujah, by the physician Luke. However, Mark's account of the good news concerning the life, the crucifixion, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus Christ is actually the first of the gospel written. Mark was not an identified disciple of Jesus Christ during his three-year ministry, but he was a close associate of Peter, Paul, and Barnabas in the early church. It is believed that Peter is the primary disciple who assisted Mark and shared with him many of the events that are even written in the gospel of Jesus Christ that we reflect and call Mark, the Gospel of Mark. However, when you combine the accounts as reflected in the four Gospels, you will find that there are five different instances where Jesus Christ appeared on that blessed Resurrection Sunday. But it is only in the Gospel of Mark who notes that the risen Lord Jesus first appeared to a woman that we refer to as Mary Magdalene. We don't know much about Mary Magdalene, but we do know that she was a woman that had been possessed by seven demons. Seven demons reflects that there was a demonic power that was complete in her life, because seven is the number of completion. But somehow along the way, hallelujah, I'm sure that some of us on this call can talk about how somewhere along the way, hallelujah, we met Jesus. And when Mary Magdalene, she met Jesus, hallelujah, Jesus cast out the seven demons. And often she is described as a woman that had a sordid past. There are times that she's linked to prostitution, but there is no scriptural text that would corroborate that legend. But what we do know about her is that she, along with the other women, including Mary, the mother of the other James, not to be confused with James and John, but the lesser James, Mary, and the other woman whose name is referred to as Salome, they went to the tomb where he had been buried while it was still dark. They were carrying with them sweet, hallelujah, sweet spices. to anoint his body, thinking that by this Thursday, from Friday to Sunday, hallelujah, that the body of Jesus would reek of the stench of death. So they just came to the graveyard to make him smell good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. On that journey to the graveyard, they had a well-placed question. Who is going to roll the stone away? It is amazing to me, and this is why I'm so glad that in his infinite wisdom, hallelujah, back in the garden, hallelujah, God created women specifically to help me. I'm so glad that God, hallelujah, brought the sisters in our lives. Thank God for the women that Mark calls out in chapter 16 of his book, and that these women had more courage and more love to see about a dead body rather than his own disciples. They came to see a dead body, and they were more concerned about a dead body than his bones, his disciples, his handpicked men were. The women, hallelujah, they recognized that they were not equipped to physically handle what would be an obvious situation to remove the stone away. And the stone had been placed there, hallelujah, not to keep him in, but to make sure that nobody could break in and steal his body, because the powers that be, they didn't want to give a glimmer of hope to anybody to help to corroborate the prophecy that I'll tear this temple down, but in 3 days, hallelujah, it's going to be resurrected. The women, hallelujah, including Mary Magdalene, hallelujah, they did not let the obvious factual circumstantial challenges of their day to deter them or defeat them. And so the Lord, hallelujah, he said to me, whoa, 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 hallelujah, who can find a virtuous woman if we first have a willing mind to serve Christ? There's no difficulty that we cannot overcome, and in the audacity of hope, hallelujah, the women kept on going, hallelujah. Thank God for the sisters who keep on going on with the Lord. Thank God for Mary Magdalene and for Mary and Salome, hallelujah, who kept on going with the intent to anoint with sweet spices the dead body of Jesus. It is interesting, hallelujah, I'm talking to the pulpit. It is interesting to consider that the disciples, God, the bishops, hallelujah, the apostles, including Peter, including the sons of thunder, James and John, we find out when we read the collective gospels that they are hiding out. They're in a locked room. The disciples, the men of God, are imprisoned by their own fear. They're incarcerated. But the women of God, oh, thank God for Jesus. The women of God who were moved by their love for him. They left their places of security. They left from wherever they were to anoint his dead body. And thank God that upon their arrival, they are told by an angel the good news. Hallelujah. I got some good news for you this morning. The Lord Jesus, hallelujah, the one whom you seek, he is not here. He is risen. If you look at verse 6 along with me, and he said unto them, be not afraid. You see, Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified, he is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. The God. message that we preach today and every day was first given to the women. Hallelujah. Not to the disciples, not to the men of God, not to the brothers, but thank God he gave the gospel to the women. And in verse 7, he tells them, he says, but go your way. I hope I'm encouraging some sisters right now. Just go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goes before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, as he said unto you. I just want to remind you what he said. I'm just corroborating what he said. While the disciples are hiding out, paralyzed by fear, the sisters are in the parking lot of the cemetery, if you will, having church and being told to go your way. And tell, hallelujah, the disciples and Peter about a living Christ. Who can find, our God, a virtuous woman? The women, including Mary Magdalene, they leave the cemetery armed. They're deadly and armed with the gospel of the living Christ. Who came from the living God to bring into existence the living church. And they leave there armed with this gospel and this audacity of hope that he is risen. They hadn't seen him yet, but they heard the word, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And they take the message of the gospel to the disciples and Peter. And Peter and John and Mary Magdalene. And they go back. They go back to the cemetery. They go back to the tomb. They can corroborate. They wanted to check out her story. And they went back. And they saw, it's like she said. And when you read these four gospels, and we find that Peter and John, they went back again to their hiding place. They left Mary Magdalene by herself in the parking lot. Mary Magdalene, she lingered at the empty tomb. Who can find a virtuous woman? Mary Magdalene, I can see her in my Christological mind. She just couldn't leave the parking lot at the empty tomb. So she just lingered. She just stayed, Reverend Dr. Glenda. She just stayed on the line. She wouldn't give up. She didn't give out. She didn't give in. She just stayed on the line. And while she was there, hallelujah, while she was there, Jesus appeared to her first. Somebody ought to shout to their neighbor first. He dealt with the woman first after his resurrection. She was alone, hallelujah, for a moment in time. But thank you, Jesus, she was not abandoned. So as I struggle with the question, family, God, why, Lord? Why did you appear to her first? What was so special about Mary Magdalene that Jesus would appear to her first? And as I struggled with the question, and as he prepared to break up the fallow ground in my mind and in my heart, family, the message came to me in two parts like this. And I share them with each of you for consideration in our season of revival and refreshing. Point one, the Lord Jesus appeared to her first because she loved him the most. He appeared to her first because she loved him the most. If we really want the Lord Jesus to appear and manifest himself, all we got to do is just stay the line and show him that we love him the most when others have gone back to their lives and back to fishing and back to lawyering and back to doctoring and back to being a professor and back to being a businesswoman and a businessman when others have gone back to their so-called new normals in a pandemic within a syndemic when others are hiding in fear and ashamed of the suffering servant. Those who stay on the line, those who love him the most shall surely see him. I can hear David saying, I have fainted. I have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I had fainted unless I had seen the goodness of the living Christ who is coming back for his living church in the land of the living. Point two, the Lord Jesus. And may I remind you that Genesis refers to him as the seed of the woman. The Lord Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene first because as he is the first Adam, I submit to you today that she is the first Eve. Yes. I heard from the Holy Spirit so clearly, think it not strange, Jesus, that as the wicked serpent first appeared and spoke to the woman in the garden, that we find the risen Christ on God, the true symbol of the serpent lifted up in the wilderness by Moses. We see the risen Christ appearing, speaking to the new Eve in John chapter 3. Find Jesus saying, most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But I love 3 and 17, y'all. For God did not. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Family, to the digital ecclesia, and for the saints all over the world, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn us, but he sent his Son that we might be saved. And we see that message oh so wonderfully presented to us this morning as the Lord Jesus appears first to an unlikely soul. He appears first to an unlikely demographic. He first appeared to Mary Magdalene. Who can find, hallelujah, a virtuous woman? Jesus appeared first to a demographic profile that was not considered, not even treated equally by men then and men even now. And even then now in the chapter. But Jesus appeared first to a woman who had a history. Thank God he did not allow her history or her prior spiritual condition. He didn't let those things define who she is forever. Jesus changed all of that, just like he changed it for all of us. The Lord Jesus met Mary Magdalene in the condition of being demon-possessed. But he changed. The Lord Jesus gave her another chance. Thank you, Sister Annette, for speaking to us about reconciliation. And thank you, Reverend Dr. Glenda, for grabbing hold of what she said and saying, oh, that sounds like to me a do-over. So this morning I submit that Mary Magdalene stands for that example that God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, has given us a do-over. And by appearing to Mary Magdalene, he is showing us that the fellowship, the friendship, the relationship has been destroyed. The curse has been lifted. Who can find a virtuous woman? Lord Jesus came. Who can find a virtuous man? The Lord Jesus can. Regardless of gender, regardless of history, regardless of social, educational, financial, political status, Jesus came. The relationship between all of us and the Father has been restored because of Christ Jesus. We are now back in fellowship with the Father, and that relationship is in peace because Christ has paid in full the debt of sin and death. And thank God for Jesus that he doesn't just call. He just doesn't call the qualified. Thank God he qualified the call. We are no longer enemy family to the kingdom of God. We are no longer servants. Today, Jesus calls us friends.